You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with you under 16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Oslo.
Hi, everyone, and you're very welcome back to Series 3, Episode 5 of Cawley's Call. We're delighted to have you, as always. Busy weekend, obviously, doubleheader of matches, games on Friday, games on Monday, so we've a lot to get through, and we have a guest joining us this week that we're delighted about, so we're going to get straight into the show because we want to chat as long as we can with this guest. I know he's a busy man. He doesn't look that busy when he's on the pitch. He's very cultured, my type of footballer, but he is busy because there's a lot going on in his life at the moment. But we're absolutely delighted to say that Gary Buckley is joining us this week. Gary, good afternoon.
Hi, lads. How are you?
Yeah, actually, do you know what? You brought up a very good term there, busy.
Go on.
Are there still... Gary, this is the first question to you, okay? Welcome to the show. You know the way we used to have busy players when we were all younger? Like, these were the guys that, you know, they'd be constantly sort of, you know, beavering around the dressing room looking for extra tickets off you. Or do those guys still exist?
They do, but I don't want to point them out.
Gary, names. If you don't name names, we're hanging up the phone.
Yeah, there's a lot of busy guys out there. I suppose it just depends on the situation. Some are busy on the pitch, some are busy off the pitch. I can name a few, don't get me wrong. I can name more than a few, but... I suppose that's just the way people are, isn't it?
They still exist.
That used to drive me fucking mad.
Oh, yeah.
You know the guys who play with their hands? So in other words,
the arms are in the air, or they're turning
to the crowd, go, well, I'm doing the great best I can do because I'm waving my hands around. Not the fucking...
Talking more than they're playing. That's what they're doing. Talking more than they're playing.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, they still exist.
Get on with the game.
But Gary, it's great to have you with us. As I say, there's a lot going on with you, but... Well, I won't say most importantly, because as I say, there's good news that you announced in December where you're expecting your first little kid. That's the best news that you'll ever get. But in terms of the football, it's been a brilliant start for Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, it's been a great start. I suppose there was with the season we had last year, we had a great start as well. So we were hoping to do the same, really. And I suppose just be more consistent over the course of the season. I know through the break last year onwards, we got hit with injuries and COVID and stuff. So I suppose this year, Liam's brought in a bigger squad, bigger strength and depth, and players have come in and out, as you saw last night, and Finn Harps made a change nearly every week and big depth. So I suppose we're looking to be a bit more consistent this year, and hopefully when the pack break away, that we can just stay there.
Yeah, it has been. It's surprised me, to be honest with you, because looking at, I suppose, the off-season, I wasn't sure with the players you lost, losing young Johnny. Everybody was kind of expecting that. But then the loss of John Mahon, your centre-half partner, who, what I had said, in my opinion, the best young player in the league in terms of defensively, and the partnership that yourself and John had built up, I felt it was the best centre-half partnership in the league as well. So the start that you've had has surprised me a little bit, but... Were you at all worried when you lost those two key players for you?
To be honest, I was. I was very worried. I suppose coming into pre-season, Johnny Kenny was just gone. And there was talk of John Mann going as well, and I was thinking, Jesus, where are we going to get someone to replace him? You're looking like it's hard to get players around the league who are already snapped up at this stage. Like, and then you're looking at players coming from abroad, and you're wondering, like, are these players any good? They don't have clubs. And to be fair, the players we got in... To be honest, like you kind of trust Lee. He's run the game a long time, and he's getting there. These players in, you're thinking like, how good are they? But to be fair, all of them hit the ground running. Nando's been brilliant at the back. Like, played every minute of every game, been great every game. Aidan Keane has scored 4 goals already. He scored a hat trick last night. You've Max Jordan Hanlon's coming to have a good few games. So like Paddy Cork, the combination of players around the players is unbelievable. And I suppose that's just testament to Liam and the backroom staff. Get these players in, because, like I said, it was looking a bit grim at the start of the season, not going to lie, or start of pre-season. And I suppose these boys starting to find their feet now. And like I said, just wants to work more consistent this year.
Yeah, just on Johnny, young Johnny, because obviously I'm from Sligo. There's a lot of talk about him and John Madden, who I was a huge fan of. I
thought you were from Portmarnock.
You've been around, obviously, a lot of top quality players with your Cork City days, Gary, and league winning teams and cup winning successful teams. Mm-hmm. But just in terms of, I suppose, young Johnny and John Madden, how good are they and how far do you think both of them can go in the game?
To be honest, I don't think they realize how far they can go. I think the potential in either of them, like the age of them, like Johnny Kenny's only 18 years old. Mm. John Mann is just turned 22, I think 21. Like the football career they have left in them is scary. Like, and the size of him, John is a man. He probably looks twice my age, like, to be honest. So, like, I suppose it depends on them. I say it all the time. You have the opportunity. They're going to get opportunities in their club. I suppose it depends on them to keep their head down, keep working hard. They're going to get knocks. Like, they're going to be managers coming that mightn't like them, and just about riding the crest of that wave and keep working hard. And like I said, they have more than potential to make a great career for themselves and even play for Ireland and stuff like that. So it's up to them. I talked to them a lot, to be honest, both of them, and good people, like, you know. So I hope them all the best, like, really.
Yeah, no, they're great lads, and I hope they do go on to fulfil their potential, because, as I say, come from good stock as well. I know Johnny's dad. Mm. But just, I suppose, back to yourself, Gary, and I mentioned the Cork City thing there. You had huge success. You built up such a brilliant rivalry with Dundalk over the years. We loved it. Obviously, we were covering all the games, and we loved that rivalry with yourselves. Could you have envisaged, though, when you think of where you were back then, how successful you were, going toe-to-toe with Dundalk, did you ever think in 3 or 4 years down the line, Cork City, you'd be back in Division 1 and you'd be riding high up in Sligo?
Jesus, no. Absolutely not. To be honest, I don't think I ever saw myself leaving Cork. I suppose it's all cliche, like, that's football. Things can change in a heartbeat and stuff happened and John left and things changed in the club, and that's just the way it is. Like, we move on, and to be honest, probably was a lesson in disguise for me, and my career kind of got reinvigorated, come back up to Sligo, changing position, and I suppose last season probably my best season in 3 or 4 or 5 years since probably we won the league. So it's kind of been a good and a bad way in a way, but obviously it wasn't nice for me to see Cork, and we kind of relegated them, kind of nearly put the nail in the coffin that time. We beat them 2-1 at home towards the end of the season, the year before last. So it wasn't nice. I'm always looking out for the results, and hopefully they're doing well. But myself personally, like, it's just supposed to go, like I said, riding high up the top, but it's early yet, and that's football, I suppose. Like I said earlier on, these things happen, and you just got to look after yourself. At the end of the day, it's a cutthroat business.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does Sligo compare to Cork? Even just the city itself, and
well, it's a lot smaller. Sligo, yeah. Tell you that.
You can't get away.
You better be kind to Sligo here, Gary.
You got a bit more protection in Cork, did you?
that might suit me now. Stop me going out now. The new kid coming along. But yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of similarities in a way as well. I suppose fan-run club and stuff like that. Huge support in the community. No matter where you go in the city, you're recognised. There's a lot of good similarities in the club and the way it's run and stuff like that. The club comes first. There's no players come for a club or anything like that. Managers, like, so a lot of similarities. Obviously, a lot of stuff and things like that go on similar as well. But I look back in Cork and everyone thinks about when leaving and John's situation. But 99% of my time with Cork was unbelievable. You know, fucking winning league, winning cups, winning a double, 4 cup finals in a row, playing in Europe, Champions League, like, done things that most players would even dream of, and more than I even thought I would do. So I look back with great, great memories, and obviously medals and trophies. And I'm hoping to do that with Sligo, you know. So I didn't come up here. I didn't travel 4 or 5 hours up the country, drag my missus and pregnant missus up the road to just sit here and play football and do this and that. But I come to win. I come to win medals. That's what it's all about. I suppose if you don't want to go and win, what's the point of playing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've had a huge impact, Gary, since you've gone to Sligo. I know you're a fan's favourite there. You mentioned that last year was probably one of your best seasons you've had in 3 or 4 years. I thought you were absolutely outstanding. And we will get to the change of position, because we're focusing a little bit here on Cork and your good times and you were predominantly a central midfielder in Cork, with, I suppose, when Greg was there or Morrissey, and you would have always been seen as that one, or getting into the box, scoring goals and that type of player. The change for me has been unbelievable to see at centre half, because I think it's your best position, but I'm not sure how you view it in terms of your days with Cork. You mentioned obviously the fond memories and the things you won, but just from a personal point of view and the position you played at Cork, whereas where you see yourself now as a Rolls-Royce type centre half, reading the game absolutely fantastic for Sligo Rovers. How do you compare the two?
Well, to be honest, I always knew I was a centre half.
Really?
My brain always worked as, even growing up, like when I first joined Cork City at 16, playing 17s and 18s, youths, I was a centre half. So it was just a bit of a change. Even when I first broke into the first team with Tommy Dunn and then Stuart Ashton, I was a centre half. It was only when John Coffey came in the start 2014, I was looking around the dressing room like, and I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to get a game here playing centre half. Like, so I kind of had to adapt my game, and I actually kind of had a word with him. I said, like, I if you want me, I can play midfield as well. And I played there in pre-season games and scored a few goals. That's where I kind of came from, really. Then he suggested me playing the 10. And I was thinking, geez, that's a long way from centre half. But I suppose I just had to adapt my game. I had to look at areas where I could get into the team, because, I, like you said, I had Colin Healy. Stages, there was Liam Miller, Garrod Morrissey, Shane Duggan, Kenny Brown at the back, Alan Byrne at the back, Dan Murray. I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to get in the team. So I was kind of just trying to be smart in that way, like, where can I get in the team? So I tried to adapt my game to play. I did a lot of donkey work, running channels, getting in the box, trying to score goals. I knew that's what John wanted at the time. Obviously, if it was up to me, I would rather have played a centre-half, or maybe even six or an eight. But I knew, I always knew, like, that I would go back to centre-half later on in my career when my legs went. I'd done a lot of running, what I had to do to get in the team. And I suppose that's where I was at that time. But it's kind of best in disguise that the way it happened out in Sligo. I know Liam has seen that now, my centre-half, that I have played there before. And to be honest, last season was probably my first season centre-half in the league. So to be honest, I think I can improve even more. I can get even better. So I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting, really.
It's very honest of you, because the times when we were covering the games, I never really seen you as that midfielder either. And now that I see you as the centre-half...
No, I didn't see myself either, no.
And now I see you as the centre-half, and it's a stroll through the games. It's absolutely... There was a game last year, I remember, up in Tala. You beat Shamrock Rovers. You went top of the league, actually. It was the mid-season.
Yeah.
And you were absolutely outstanding. Now, I'm a big fan of John Mann, but between the two, he complimented yourself so well, Gar. And even looking at you now, as I say, the impact that you've had in the showgrounds. Like, I'm following Sligo Rovers a long, long time, and I'm going to the showgrounds for years and years since I was a kid. And I could count on one hand the amount of players that have had an impact, as such as yourself, not only on the team, but around the place and even amongst the fans. And I suppose you look back, as you're saying, about Cork and the success that you had and the happy times, but I'm sure you're loving life in Sligo, because things have worked out so well for you.
Yeah, it's been a blessing in disguise. Like I said, it's reinvigorated my career. Come up here, I didn't know what to expect, but like you said, the people have taken to me, and I really, really have found a connection with the area and people everywhere I go. You notice people, even my local shop here, I know people and things around the club, people around the club, I know everybody, and it's been nearly a dream come true. Like that, I'm actually probably the best decision of my career to come here, you know. And I really want to make something before I leave, whenever that time comes. I want to win something. Like, I want to experience that real Sligo people love. Like, they deserve, I suppose. I don't know how long it's been since they've won a trophy. It was the 58 Cup, was it 2013 or something like that?
Yeah, 14. The league back then, yeah.
So, like, and Dave Colley was telling me, like, the situation on the place, like, and when that, them things happened. I want to experience those things. Like I said, when I came up here, I want to win trophies, I want to win medals, and that's why I came here, I suppose.
On that, because Stewie, you love that answer. Stewie's a very driven individual, and he'd be the exact same mentality as you, Gary. You look at the team and the squad now, as you say, you finished third last year. You've had a brilliant start, I think 11 points out of 15 so far. Aidan Keane coming in, getting 3 goals last night. Just, and I know it's hard sometimes to predict or make kind of suggestions where you might go or targets, but is there a squad capable of achieving success there now?
I don't see why not. I suppose if you take out Shamrock Rovers' squad, I suppose, even though our 11 against their 11 any given day, I feel like we could match them, but their squad is probably different. Like, if you look at the rest of the teams, like, it's nearly a 50-50 toss-up. So I suppose, like, you shouldn't be afraid to put expectations on yourself. I know people will be saying stuff like that, like, don't expect it, because the fans be expecting it and it doesn't happen, but why not? Like, I always said progression is always the way, like, year on year. That's why I signed back. I said the club, I could see progression going every year since I've been here. So I suppose third last year, if we can match that or even do better, go on a better run, match what we did last year and be more consistent, and even a cup run as well, like getting to the Viva. I've been there four times in a row. It's a special occasion, and I've won there. So I think you have to set the bar high. Otherwise, like, no one wants to play mid table or fighting relegation battles. So we put pressure on ourselves, but I suppose Liam's job to take the pressure off us. But me as an individual, and maybe some players are the same, like, I always like playing with pressure. It's kind of, it makes or breaks for people, and I suppose that's the joys of football, like, with pressure on, isn't it?
Gary, the way you're talking there is it's music to my ears, because I couldn't operate any other way. Like, I'm trying to think, is there a fear nowadays amongst a squad of players, or that you can't sort of really, I don't know, if want of a
well,
better.
Actually, you know, it's a good example showing that.
Is there a fear of saying, let's go win a fucking league title? Why can't we do that?
Say, for example, Gary, last year you got off to the brilliant start. Mid-season, you're thinking, we're in with a chance here. I mentioned the game, you beat Shamrock Rovers, so you're probably going down on the bus thinking, we're every bit as good as these. What happened?
To be honest, like, we had COVID situation, we had injuries. I think after the break, I missed 5 weeks. John Mann missed 3 weeks for COVID. Johnny Kenny was COVID. Greg got injured. There was a case there after the break, and I think me and John didn't play until the start of August after June. So, like, we didn't really have the squad in depth and like we did this year. So that's why I think with the squad we have this year, there's adequate replacement all around the park, and you can chop and change, and it won't be much like last year. We bought Paddy Kirk, you know, for Robbie McCord, and two of them are fighting for that position. Last year we'd put right siders in left center or left back in that kind of situation and stuff like that. So them things are not ideal, and they kind of affect the game that you want to play. So just little details like that, I think, the where Liam has improved this year, and I'm hoping that over the course of the season we can be more consistent. And I suppose, going back to your point about Liam, you shouldn't be afraid to say it, but I suppose I'm not saying we're going to win the league this year, but you should be thinking, like, to go into every game that you want to win that game, no matter where it is, like if it's Shamrock Rovers away or wherever you're going and stuff like that. So, like, if you're not in to win it, what's the point of turning up? Like, I wouldn't be playing if that was the case. If I was at a club where I wanted to be in mid-table of fighting relegation, I just wouldn't do it. Like, it's just not what I want to do. You want to be up there competing in the top matches and on RT and all this kind of stuff and cup finals, and that's what it's all about. Like, that gets the blood boiling and stuff like that. So don't get me wrong, it's a long season there, and anybody can be anyone, like you've seen, but expectation on ourselves. This is just going every game. Every game is the same, and that's the way you approach it, really.
Do you find it hard, Gary, to switch off sometimes? Like, you know, because if you have that sort of look, in order to have that mentality, you have to be switched on all the time. But how do you switch off?
He's never off the golf course. Him and Greg Bulger.
Well, is that he's switched off?
Or even compete on the golf course, me and him every shot. That's your second shot. That's your third shot. We're still competing, the two of us.
You don't drink Rockshore, do you, and go surfing, do you? Like Alan does.
No.
All those soft Sligo boys.
We mentioned Greg there, and obviously we know Greg over the years, and he's very driven. He would have that mentality, obviously being successful himself. This is my first time to properly speak to you, Gary, but you're so refreshing in terms of your attitude, and the mentality is the exact same. Have you almost taken it upon yourselves to be those voices in the dressing room, or those senior players, those leaders, to help the younger crew along as well?
Yeah, I suppose we kind of have to. It's a young enough squad. I think it's just me, Greg, and Davey, really, who have a good bit of experience in the league. And there's a few boys that had a few years. But I suppose over the course of, I'm 10 years now. Davey's probably 12, Greg's 15 and stuff. So, like, I suppose it's up to us. No one else is going to lead it and stuff like that. So you have to kind of, not going to put manners on boys, but you know, just give them the ins and outs of everyday training and stuff like that. And yeah, I suppose start. I suppose if they're looking at us doing things stupid and not doing things right, they know, then they might get ideas and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a different role that I've played in over the years, but I'm enjoying it. I suppose my big thing is lead by example. You know, if you turn up on a Friday night and the lights come on, you produce, score goals, defend, stuff like that. Other than that, you can do what you want. Like, you know, some people say that you train the way you play, but if some player has a bad day or train, and I'm not really going to get on to them once they're ready for Friday night or Saturday night and they turn up and produce, that I'm happy with that. Like.
Mm. It's been brilliant to speak to you, Gary. I wish you all the best, obviously, going forward. I'm delighted to see you playing centre-half for Sligo Rovers because it's a joy to watch you. They're my team. I hope you go on, as I say, and be successful like you're driven to do. And obviously, a kid on the way as well. We want to congratulate you on that as well. And
cheers, thanks.
If you're ever stuck for anything in Sligo, just mention my name and you'll be all right.
I will. I'll be barred from the place.
Gary, listen, it's been a pleasure. Thanks a million.
Cheers, lad. Thanks, Gary. Best luck. See you again.
Brilliant, Stu. That's the first time I've spoken to Gary properly, because obviously he would have been with Cork. We would have followed the Cork-Dundalk thing over the years, playing a different position. But since he's gone into Sligo at centre-half, he's been an absolute revelation. Rolls-Royce centre-half, like almost like Rio Ferdinand type, that calibre of kind of reading the game, breezing through games, like almost like the old phrase, you could wear slippers at centre-half, he's that good on the ball. And he's had a huge impact.
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's interesting to hear him say that he from looking at him playing, I would have said he's a centre half. But a good, you know, he has that ability. He reads the game well and technically very good. But when he played midfield, to hear him say that he kind of had to make that position just in order to get a game, and that must have been tough on him. I would imagine he would have come under a bit of pressure from the crowd and all, and so
and
on
and
so forth.
A good awareness about him to realise, kind of look, you're looking around thinking, well, this fella's here, or he's mentioned Kenny Brown or Dan Murray or whatever, the midfield area. So a bit, almost awareness on his own part to realise these are good lads. I might not get a game here, to adjust me position to go somewhere else. Like,
yeah, and so it's the fact that he would have been, I would imagine, he would have felt a lot of pressure having to make that position midfield on his own. It suggests to me that he's quite a mentally strong individual, you know, which is why I kind of asked him, how does he switch off? Because, you know, you have to have that ability to be able to kind of switch off when you're so. I mean, it was a big fault of mine. Like, you know, I was always turned on to the point where.
I won't even ask you how you switched off, because you didn't switch off.
I didn't switch off till the end of the season. I always remember this. Last game of the season, the next day, my legs would be my body would be in physical pain.
Because
I'd be mentally programmed. I don't know whether it's a good thing to say I was very lucky with injuries, because I never got injured, right? But now when I look back at my career, I think that could have been a bad thing, like, you know, because you need a rest. You just need to rest, like, you know, and you'd be playing through niggles and knocks and it's just get to the end of the season.
Probably times you were injured and you didn't even want to stop.
Yeah, there would have been. I played through a broken ankle once. Broke my ankle against Derry.
For anyone listening here,
Kieran Martin, I jumped up for a header with Kieran Martin and I landed first and he landed on my ankle. And Kieran's a big guy. And I remember I went down in absolute agony. And I got up and played on for about 15 minutes and I had to be taken off. And it took me off, and long story short, I had broken a bone in my ankle, and it was a bone. I had to have an operation to have it removed.
For anyone listening, I don't have any of those stories. I didn't even go for headers. But give me a ball and I do some damage.
A header is when you jump off the ground. And
give me a ball and
caress,
I do some damage.
You caress the ball with your head.
Okay, let's get back to the football, Stu. I really enjoyed that with Gary Buckley. He surprised me because, as I say, sometimes with those cultured fellas that it almost comes to ease. And I know we mentioned this before about, you used the example of Forrester, that you should never judge a book by its cover, because he is that lovely language style as well. Yet he was very driven and brilliant when he was in with us. But Gary Dare, it bodes well for Sligo Rovers to have someone like him with that mentality. And Greg Bulger, we already know.
Yeah.
But I was really, really delighted to hear the stuff he was saying there. And like you mentioned a comment 2 or 3 weeks ago where, again, we bring up Forrester, that after the match against Shells, he was almost happy to play it down. Whereas Gary's coming out saying, no, you should never play it down. We're here to be successful, and kind of he wasn't saying we're going to win the league, but he was more or less saying that's what we're here to try and do.
Yeah, yeah. I think you need those guys in your squad, like, you know. And you, I mean, look, you know, you don't need people going around, you know, roaring and shouting. And it's just you need to have that sort of the standard setters, I suppose, because, I constantly go on about balance and how important it is, and you have to have different personalities in your team. You have to. You know, if you were all going around like headbangers, then you'd play like headbangers. Like, you know, so there are different roles for different players, and there's a different balance that you need to have. You need to have the players who can do something different for you, who are maybe a little bit switched off in certain moments. But you also, if you want to win a league, if you want to have consistency through a whole season, and this is the key, a league is a marathon. You know, it is a marathon. It is. It's
an endurance test.
Yeah, it's an endurance. I mean, it's 40 plus weeks of constantly being torn. You need the guys that can do it week in, week out for you, like Gary, and because mentally that's what they bring to the table. And managers, they're goldust. Mm. For managers, they're goldust. You can't get these guys anymore. Like, you know, I don't think you can get them. I think they're becoming less and less available. And you need these guys because they're what they drive other players. They set standards. They're also the guys that are probably always available for a little bit of advice, because again, when you've got young players coming through, young players, they need either that, you know, a little bit of advice or a little bit of a shove or a little bit of a pointer in the right direction, or they just need to be able to watch you and watch how you train. And even when it comes down to the simple things of doing little shuttles and all, like, you know, I mean, how many times when we played in our career, we'd be training and you'd look at some lad and he's just plodding along doing something. You need to be at it, like, yeah. You know, so when he sees other people doing that, he responds to that and so on and so forth. That's just a small example, like, you know, but when you have players that are doing that week in, you know, every minute of the day, week in, week out, you know, they set those standards.
It's very Sligo Rovers heavy this week, our podcast, and with good reason, Stu, because on Friday night they beat Drogheda 3-0, great result away from home, scored a couple of great goals as well, and then last night they followed it up with a 3-1 victory at home to Finn Harps, 6 points out of six over the weekend. As I say, it's a replica of the start they made last year, but I think they've scored two more goals than they did last year at this stage and conceded one less. So we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but certainly in terms of the start that they've made, Liam Buckley would be over the moon.
Yeah, he'd be delighted, absolutely delighted. And didn't play the first game, right? There was called off, wasn't it? It was the Bowes game, wasn't it? Due to the storm.
The Saturday night, yeah.
I wonder, did it help? I don't know.
They've only played five, whereas, as you say, Pats have played six, Shamrock Rovers played six, Dundalk have played six. So
yeah, but the key thing is, we spoke to Greg Bulger. We spoke to Greg Bulger probably towards the latter end of the summer last year, was it? Mm. When they were talking about the disappointment of the European stuff. And I think, you know, he just alluded to the fact that maybe the squad just weren't mentally ready to kind of to do it for the whole year. And that's fine. That's what happens. You know, that's, and we speak to Gary now and you listen to him and where his mindset is at, and you're thinking, maybe they could be tuned in this year, like, you know. And so therefore the start they've gotten is putting them in a position, a very, very good position. And we often speak about the fact, you know, this league has an awful habit of throwing you into a scenario whereby you got to take the opportunity when it's there. And we look at the league table and we see Pats, Sligo, Derry, Rovers, Shamrock Rovers going for three in a row, find themselves in fourth. I know it's early days and there's only 2 points between the top four, but, you know, there's four teams. Those four teams look very, very strong. And this is what we want, Alan.
Absolutely. Like,
if this league consistently had four or five teams that were pushing for either a league title or whatever, believe me, the standard would just go through the roof. Mm. Consistency.
And you'd be
key
dragging
to all
the other
of
clubs along, which is
dragging the other clubs along. You're getting better quality matches week in, week out. That drives crowds. That drives interest. It's so important. So often down the years, have we had a one horse race, a two horse race, and it's the quality just dies halfway. Not even halfway through. Maybe a third through the season, and it's gone. You need to have that competition week in, week out, and it benefits everybody.
So are you from you mentioned the four teams there, and you could even throw in Dundalk because they've had a decent start. Are you very, very hopeful, very, very optimistic, Stu, that we will see three or four teams hopefully fight it out. I think, and I know it's hard to say with these predictions.
Yeah, I think what you might say, Alan, I think like last year we had a three-horse race. We had Pats, Sligo, Rovers, okay?
And they were surprise contenders last year, Pats and Sligo, because we all thought Bowes and Dundalk would put it up to Rovers.
You'd argue that, yeah. But then you see Pats obviously drove Rovers for, let's say, 80% of the season. Sligo were there for 60%. So what you would hope now is that, mate, you've got another one in the mix now. You've got Derry. You might see that... you know, Rovers get pushed for nearly the whole season now, a la the way Cork did on Dundalk or whatever the case may be, or the way Rovers did, then ultimately they did on Dundalk, like, you know. And so you're looking for, how do I sort of phrase this? The more teams that are competing at the top, the more consistency you get in the league, and you just feel like there's more to fight for, if you know what I mean. It's
more competitive almost.
It's like more competitive, yeah. It's hard to articulate, like, you know, but when you have one or two teams running away with it, teams can... I think the chasing pack can tend to say, oh, well, look, let them at it. We're not going to get to them. Yeah, throw it a towel. We're not going to get to them. Let's just worry about what's around us. But if you're in the mix, you're saying to yourself, well, let's have a go. Let's have a go. And so therefore... you know, there's more consistency, there's higher standards, and hopefully this year there'll be more longevity in those teams that can challenge Shamrock Rovers. Shamrock Rovers are still the team to catch. They're the team that everyone needs to go after. Early signs are suggesting that we're looking at a proper title race. Okay. It can always fall apart very, very quickly, but certainly early signs, you can certainly see
three contenders. Along with yourself, want to see that. Absolutely, we do. And it's been a great start, Jeff, for three or four or five teams and for the league in general. But just, you mentioned Shamrock Rovers there, Stu. Let's go to them. I was in Talla on Friday night. They beat their nearest rivals, Bohemians. It was probably the tamest derby I've been to in three or four years. I gave it the big build-up last week.
How so?
And... because it's been electric, obviously, the last three or four years, the fixture. It's a brilliant fixture. As I said, we gave it the big build-up. I just found it very, very tame. And you made an interesting point last week. And as I came away from the ground, it brought me back to the point you made, where I'm just not sure if the Bohemians lads really got it,
yeah,
what this fixture momentum was all about. Because you go back to Derek Pender and what he's all about and running through brick walls and the whole lot. You mentioned Noah Buckley.
Keith Buckley, yeah.
Cornwall, yeah. Or these lads that were the heartbeat of that team when it was going through there.
You need a leader, Alan. Every team needs a leader.
And I looked at Bohemians the other night, and not so much a criticism that, but they just didn't have that lad like a Buckley that was in fighting in the heart of the midfield, getting, you know, you almost like we all, like the game has changed in terms of the possession based, and technically it's come on so much. But the crowd still loves a tackle. Some fella nails a fella and gets the crowd going. And almost, it's almost the case of at times the whole game's a bit flat and you nearly take it upon yourself, I'm going to nail someone here and get the whole thing going and almost cause a row type thing, you know?
Yeah, it's...
The game, Shamrock Rovers started really well and were in control. Bohemians, it almost took them to concede to start coming out of themselves. But I almost felt it nearly needed a fella to go around and nail someone and get to bring
the energy. You know, I know what you're trying to say, go around and nail someone. And yeah,
I don't mean nail someone.
I know,
hurt someone.
Bring,
you know,
the energy. Set this, in other words, some sort of gesture to his teammates. We're not fucking at it. Let's get going here. And in our day, it wouldn't be that somebody would go out to hurt somebody. But yeah, you'd go out and somebody would... And it happened to us. I mean, even it happens to the best of teams. You have just a flat day and someone just has to go and rattle somebody. Mm. Get booked. You know, get the crowd up off their feet, get something going, set a standard.
Or even,
you know,
shoot, have a row amongst yourselves.
Have a row amongst yourselves. Mm. Anything, just to anything to ignite some sort of a reaction, you know. And coming off the conversation with Gary, you know, it's almost nearly the same kind of conversation. You need that person or player or figurehead or some, because like when you've got young players in the team, they're all young players are always looking for that in somebody, and it doesn't we're not necessarily talking about somebody that might go out and do something stupid.
Yeah, no.
It's just so the young players can go, let somebody take the focus off me. I just want to go and play here. I'm only developing, you know. And when you've got somebody that can go, I'll take responsibility. I'll go and, you know. That's like, all you need. Like, that's all you need.
What Bowes have done...
They might be lacking that player at the moment. They've got loads of technical players, loads of ability, but just maybe lacking...
I think they have to make it
that
to Buckley. On the football side, what they lost was... There were Promise was a huge loss. We mentioned him last week, obviously, that he was going to be suspended. Just his physical presence up front and his pace and power and just occupying defenders and being a handful and being an annoyance, they didn't have that. And it was tough when young Cassidy came in. His first, made his debut, he was on loan, he's only a kid, I think he's only 18. Very hard to go into a game like that against the likes of a Lopez and Grace and Sean Hoare, these boys, 3v1 at times. He was feeding off scraps. So that's from the football aspect and the football side. But to go back to the chat there about in terms of the leader, I think they've named Tyreek Wilson as the club captain. And you're going from Buckley and Pender and these boys. No disrespect to Tyreek Wilson, but he's not a captain. He's not going to go around and get the whole thing fired up and get them going. Yeah. I would have felt maybe Talbot, the goalkeeper, there's a bit of madness in him. There looks like there's a bit of a madness.
Well, he'll bark at you if you do something wrong. And you kind of need that. You need that fear,
I thought he would have been the nailed-on captain. You know, get them going. He knows what the fixture's all about. Now, he wasn't great himself in the game performance-wise, but just in terms of the bigger picture, as the... I just feel they've made the wrong decision going for Tyreek. He didn't even play half the games last year. And there was talk at one stage he might leave because Anto Breslin was playing all the games. It's just a funny one for me. Left full as the captain. Like, you know, especially, I don't mind in terms of being left full.
Yeah.
But just as, he doesn't have that presence.
No, exactly. And, you know, again, you know, when you have that player who you just feel is going to take responsibility, or even that player, you know that if I put a foot wrong here, I'm going to be getting an earful. Like, you know,
he's not that.
And when that player's not there, you kind of tend to relax and go, oh, this is grand. Like, you know, I can relax and play here and get on the ball, Serie A and La Liga, pass it around. And then all of a sudden, bang, you're not at it. You know, and you can't turn it on in the game.
No,
you can't, unless you're experienced, unless you've been in the trenches before. You can't turn it on and off. You have to be at it from the get-go.
And that was it, Stu. That was exactly it. They didn't start the game. Shamrock Rovers took total control at all the initiative, got their goal, and once they were 1-0 ahead, Bowes came out to play a bit then, and it almost woke them up. But they were huffing and puffing throughout the night, and Shamrock Rovers, it was like as if a boxer had that arm out. They were always at arm's length. They were never really hurting them. They were hitting them with little jabs, but there was never a knockout punch.
Yeah, well, Rovers have that, you know, they have that experience to be able to...
And they managed it very well.
Managed the game, get sticking into third gear, fourth gear, you know, and just kind of, you know, cruise control, whatever phrase you want to use, and just manage the game, which, look, they have that ability to do because they have that experience to do. I'm not so sure in terms of their... what they need this year, I think they may need to kind of go through the gears a little bit now over the coming weeks, because you know, when you look at the game, look, I don't think they're at a full tilt. They're nowhere near at a full tilt at the moment, and you'll probably argue that Rovers are trying to find their feet in terms of,
well, he left Mandra. How the
balance is going to work.
And Burke was brilliant.
Yeah,
Burke was brilliant.
And to be fair, and then just even coming off the back of the Bowes game and looking at the Dundalk game the other night, I'd say I was quite impressed with some of the play from Rovers. I thought they were starting to look more like themselves, but not consistently doing it for the 90 minutes. But maybe I think there's signs there that Rovers are starting to maybe sort of go through the gears a little bit. I thought they had some great opportunities against them. They probably should have won the game on chances.
Yeah.
Some serious goalkeeping from both goalkeepers, I have to say. But
the next one, Stu, we want to go on to is obviously Bowes then played out a 1-1 draw last night with Shelburne. To be fair, they showed a lot of character to come back because they fell a goal down and had a man sent off as well, and they got a late equaliser, so it was a good point in the end. But St. Pat's have had a great weekend. They obviously followed up a brilliant victory against Shamrock Rovers, and they followed up with a brilliant win in Finn Harps on Friday night. And I was getting stick for telling people, or one of the fans wasn't too happy, Finn Harps, for us saying it's a difficult place to go, lazy cliches. It is a difficult place to go.
Where?
The pitch has been a bog for years up there.
Ah, yeah.
And no one likes to go up there. But Pat's went up, and... the 1-2-0, and then they followed up again last night. And you could say, look, the fixtures were kind to them over the weekend, but you still have to go out and win. And they beat UCD comfortably last night, winning 2-0 as well. So a good weekend for St. Pat's overall.
Very good weekend for St. Pat's overall. And again, just coming off the back of the the two defeats was really on the verge before they played Rovers, could have had them in serious trouble. And isn't it hilarious what a difference a week makes in football? They beat Rovers and then all.
Anita said that last year. A week is a long time in football.
A week is a long time in football, yeah. Yeah, and in politics. so they, you know, the Rovers result is huge.
And important to follow it up, Stu.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, and then settle the squad down. I'd like to think that they are, you know, Tim's probably looking at it now and saying, right, I know what personnel to call on in certain situations, and that early season scare now is behind them. And I think you're seeing, you know, you're looking at what is could be a very, very competitive, couple of weeks coming ahead, because there's nothing between the top. Well, look, there's nothing between the top five. You can kind of include them, Doctor. I think we're looking at Rovers, Derry, Sligo, and Pats. That are going
well, there's
to be
a huge. You're mentioning the next couple of weeks being huge and competitive. Pats are away in Derry now Friday night, massive game.
And it's because it's not just because of that exactly. It's because
Shamrock Rovers,
yeah, the mid table, the mid table teams are playing each other. Shells, I think, are playing Finn Harps.
So the top four that you mentioned are facing off against each other Friday night, cracking.
Exactly, and so you could be looking at what could be a real potential split in that top four, and of course, you know, those that are hovering in around down the bottom of the table. We're six games in now, and it starts to get to a stage where
you get cut adrift.
It has a huge psychological effect on the team, so it's important for those that are sort of hanging in around that mid table area that you stay there. And of course, if you're in the mix up in that top four again, that you stay there, like, you know, but it's big games coming up.
I'll be in Tala Friday night. I'll be in the Belfield Bowl because that game is at 5 o'clock on Friday. So I'm hoping to get two games in Friday night. But one team that it wasn't a great weekend for, I'm sad to say, is Drogheda. They obviously were beaten on Friday night and were beaten again last night. Sligo Rovers beat them 3-0 on Friday night and then they were beaten again last night up in Derry. Difficult weekend for them. And they're facing off against Dundalk this Friday night. So tough few days for Drogheda, but hopefully they can bounce back. Shelburne last night, Stu. They'll be disappointed that they never got the job finished off.
They will be disappointed that they didn't get the job finished off, yeah, because got a good, really, really, really good goal. First touch, Sean Boyd, just as he came on. Worked the goal really well, I have to say. It was a lovely finish and he worked nicely down that left-hand side. But the goal they've conceded from the corner, I don't know what the defender is thinking. He just needs to head it away. He just gets caught underneath it and it's scrappy and it's messy and... I think there was a proper crowd there last night as well. It was a real atmosphere.
Brilliant.
It was a real sense of occasion about it. And to be fair, like there's always that sense of occasion in Daly at the moment. But obviously, when Shells and Bowes come back together again and that in the Premier, and there's obviously a little bit of needle. Well, there's always been needle between Shells and Bowes, but there's a lot going on in the background, and I'm sure. Shells would love to have gotten a win there, and they will certainly be disappointed that they didn't get a win. But look, I still think it's progress for Shells. I mean, Bows are ahead of Shelburne for the very reason that they've been in the league for longer, and they've been well used to the Premier for a while. This Shells team has come up and are just trying to, you know,
brand new team,
trying to find them. Yeah, just trying to find out where their place are in the league. I know Duff would be certainly pushing them to kind of set their standards high in order so that they, you know, if you aim for perfection, you won't get there, but you'll get as close to as possible. But in terms of their development, I think they're settling down now.
And they have a big game Friday night. They're playing at home to Finn Harps. Well, that's the ones you want.
They're the ones you need to win. And they're also the games that maybe Shells have probably, you know, they're well set up. They've got a good shape in the team. They're difficult to play against. And, you know, they're now starting to kind of find goals. This is the game where they may need to go out and be a little bit more progressive, be a little bit more adventurous in their play. Because I think if you look back at how they started the season against Pats, Damien Duff may have looked at it and said maybe we were a little bit too expansive. I don't think they were, to be quite honest with you. They got punished, you know, by some serious quality goals. But I think if they can go and play against Finn Harps like that, because the fact they're in Talca, I think they'll go win the game. But Finn Harps are obviously looking at their situation saying, we can't afford it. They're probably going to come down and make themselves difficult to beat.
Yeah, suffered a dunner defeat last night in Harps to Sligo Rovers. But that's the fixtures for this Friday. UCD, as I say, early kickoff against Bowes, 5 o'clock. Derry against Pats, that'll be a cracker. Drogheda, Dundalk, the Lough Derby. Drogheda will be looking to bounce back, but Dundalk have had a good steady start themselves. Shelburne Finn Harps, which we've just discussed, and Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers. I can't wait to see that. And I'm going out to watch Gary Buckley, the Rolls Royce. Gary Buckley was great. I really enjoyed that interview, Stu. That was episode 5.
By the way, for our younger listeners, Rolls Royce cars were considered to be a luxury car back in the day. Okay. Also, rock bands tended to drive them into swimming pools. Huh?
Did you ever have a Rolls Royce?
No. I had a bit. What's the nicest car you've ever had? Do you know what I had before? I had a Peugeot 206. Cracking little car. Brand new. Looked like a little mini Aston Martin. That was the nicest car I've ever had.
Volvo S60 is the nicest. You're fancy, me, aren't you? The first one I ever had. You know what I mean?
You're slow from Pontmarnock, you know.
The first one I used to arrive in, the little Mazda 121.
You are slow from Pontmarnock. You've changed. You used to be from Sligo, now you're from Pontmarnock.
The Mazda 121. Do you remember that? Ollie Cal's dad got me that car, and I thought it was a Rolls Royce.
Oh, that's right, did he?
I thought it was a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
First car. There'll be a story about that we'll save for maybe the live show, because I got into trouble with the guards one night, and I better not tell you that story on this podcast. Some crack, and it's linked to the League of Ireland, because there's the Drogheda administrator type fella was a detective, and
oh yeah,
it saved me and helped me that he was, and he knew who he was.
I know who you're talking about, by the way.
We'll talk about that again, but that was episode 5, Stu. The weeks are flying by, the games are flying by, and hopefully we can maintain a really competitive league, as you see, we're 4 or 5 teams fighting it out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, absolutely. And funnily enough, I just have a little document here. I think it's the top 10 attendances of the season so far. And
unbelievable.
They make for serious healthy reading. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're looking at crowds of Shamrock Rovers, Bowes, 7,500.
Brilliant it was. Great atmosphere.
Fantastic. Shamrock Rovers, UCD, 5,173.
And 5,170 of them were Shamrock Rovers fans.
Apparently UCD brought 3 supporters to that game.
I'm joking.
But they weren't let in. But like, you know, you're looking at, I mean, St. Pat's versus Shamrock Rovers, 4,871.
I was at it.
And of course, I'm only spot picking some of them here. Shell, St. Patrick's, 4,000. The crowds are fantastic.
Brilliant.
So there's a real appetite there for live games, live football. Stop watching that Premier League shite, because it's shite. Exactly. Watch Irish football.
Stewie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Paul Morris, looking after us as well in the green room. Thank you. And Benetti Menswear, as always, who sponsored the show, look after us. We wouldn't be here without them. Hope you enjoyed that, people. I really enjoyed Gary Buckley's interview. A great lad. And go and watch him. We often mention the Fleer players. Watch this boy playing centre-half, Rolls-Royce. That's all, folks. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.